Kelly Rose Bradford is a journalist and broadcaster and joins me on the programme now. Kelly Rose, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
You do not like flying on planes with children on them, do you?
I do not. Do you? Does anyone?
I love it. It's part of my holiday. You know, I prefer, I said during the week, I'd prefer to sit in a plane full of children than drunken, noisy hen and stag parties and adults.
Well, yeah, and everybody keeps coming up with that one as sort of like the counter-argument, and I would agree. But I think, you know, what we actually want is just people to behave themselves regardless of what age they are, and for adults who are responsible for these children to make sure they're not annoying everybody else. I think that's you know, the general point I was making. Because obviously, you know, I don't want to be sat next to some drunk person, some snoring person, or somebody who's getting up and going to the loo every 2 or 3 minutes. No more than I want to be, you know, next to a screaming toddler or children sitting behind me kicking my feet.
But is it, if you know, when a plane takes off and you've got a toddler and perhaps the air pressure, they're giving them a pain in the ears and they start crying, are you saying that that offends you? It's not a bit heartless.
No, I'm not saying it offends me at all. I don't think.
Well, you want them on a different plane.
I don't think I've used the word offend at all. And
no, I concluded that you found it offensive.
Okay.
I apologise.
No, I don't find it offensive. I find it irritating and annoying, which I think is probably a bit different to offensive. But what I've actually said was, I've never suggested at any point that children should be banned from planes.
But you want them on separate planes.
No, what I've actually said is that, you know, customers should be given the option of flying on planes which are child-free or have children or family-only sections. In the same way that we have business class and first class, why not have an area that is set aside for families to use? Not just for the benefit, perhaps, of passengers like me who do not want to listen to other people's children for a 9, 10, 11-hour flight, but also for the benefit of these families who would then have cabin crew who are dedicated to looking after families' needs, who are able to be on call for them, where perhaps there is more space for children who do want to walk up and down in the aisles, and where parents are going to be with other parents. So they're not going to get the looks, the stares and the eye rolling, which many parents have told me this week they do get as soon as they set foot on a plane with a child, because the expectation is there from other passengers that the children are going to misbehave. Now, I'm a parent. I've flown with a small child. The argument about air pressure and ear pain, I think, is a very, very valid one. Now, when my son was very small, I flew with him quite often, but he was at the stage where he just slept and fed, so I didn't have the tantrums and the tears and the crying. I was very aware that he could get to the stage quite quickly where he would be aware of what we were doing, the fact we were flying. He would be excited by it. He would be bored by it. And there would also be, you know, the risk that he was going to find it quite uncomfortable. So I took a couple of years out from flying with him when he was about 18 months old to perhaps when he was about 3. And we went on different kinds of holidays because I didn't think that it was suitable for him to be cooped up on a plane at his age and for that long.
Now, I've been sitting beside parents, though, and, you know, they've got a little child and you can see that they're in some distress. It's a new experience for them. And you can see the parents, how conscious they are of it and how uncomfortable they are. And you can see the tension between mum and dad building up and they look around. I'd be inclined to throw them a smile as if to say, look, we've all been there. It's OK.
Yeah, we have. But do you know what? I also think that there is an element of selfishness with these parents. I've spoke to mums and dads this week who have told me that they know it's hell for their kids being on a plane. It's hell for them having to endure their own children being on a plane. They know that their small children get pressure in their ears, which is painful and horrible. I've even had parents who've told me they've actually drugged their kids, they've sedated their children for flights just because they can't cope with them, let alone anyone else. But the attitude very much seems to be, oh, but it's only for a few hours, or, you know, I'm not that bothered, it's only for a few hours. They, you know, they have a bit of discomfort on takeoff and landing, but that's fine. Oh, we never have to see the people they're annoying. And I just think that attitude is pretty rotten, actually. Not just sort of like, you know, for the sake, you know, there's your child who, you know, you're putting through a distressing ordeal, if you like, you know, if you're admitting that their ears are painful, that they're stressed out by the whole flying procedure, and all for what? Just so you can sort of like maintain your sort of like pre-childhood lifestyle? And
no,
sort of
I mean,
you
take
2 weeks in the sun.
Yeah, exactly,
you know?
That's precisely it, the childhood experiences of paddling in the pool.
Okay, to be fair, when you've got under threes, they couldn't care less whether they're on holiday, you know, over here in you know, whether they're on holiday in the UK, whether they're on holiday, you know, somewhere.
Well, I'd argue that they might not remember it. They're very formative years, and if you have a happy child that has more experiences at that age, whether they can recall it verbatim or not, it will help them develop into a more rounded individual.
Well, but this is a general thing, isn't it? From my experience, from what I see of small children being taken on long-haul flights, it isn't a particularly happy experience.
So you want them to sit and rill in the rain then?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think that's quite an idiotic comment to make. But what I'm saying is I think parents need to think carefully about the lifestyle choices they make once they have children. And it's not particularly ideal to, you know, be taking very small children who are, you know, they're caused discomfort by the experience, obviously quite stressed by the experience. If you do it once and your child screams throughout the whole flight, I wouldn't necessarily be thinking 6 months down the line, I'm going to repeat the experience, which indeed I didn't, even though I didn't have a screamer myself. I waited until he was a bit older, until he could actually enjoy the flying experience as well. And obviously now he's much older. He's 12 now. And, you know, going on a plane, it's sort of like, you know, pretty blasé, isn't it? He doesn't really, you know, it's not that particularly interesting to him. It's just something he sort of like endures, plugs himself into his device or whatever and sort of like, you know, sits it out type thing. But when he was at the age where he could appreciate it, when he was perhaps, you know, 3 or 4 and I could talk him through what was happening, you know, make him look out the window, entertain him, make sure that he wasn't causing a nuisance to anyone else, and sort of like always being on my guard for those signs of, you know, a small child who's about to kick off, you know, the whinging, the back arching.
It's kind of ironic that you would travel with your young child and find discomfort annoying, and yet it's not even my child, and I wouldn't.
No, because as I said, I took a couple of years out when I knew he would be at that stage.
Well, hypothetically.
When I knew he would be at that stage where he was going through sort of like, you know, the terrible twos, where he was going through the grisliness and the whinginess. But as I said at the top of the show, if we had an area, if there was a family area on planes where you could book tickets within a family area, then, you know, that's surely to the benefit of everyone. That's not about discrimination or segregation, which are various phrases which have been used this week after this debate first started. I think it's about, you know, it's about giving customers what they want. And most of the parents I have spoken to have said to me, yeah, that would be a great idea. It would, you know, it would save us from feeling uncomfortable. It would, you know, it would be putting us in an environment with other families where the children could potentially then be sort of like, you know, being around other kids and sort of like, you know, be entertain themselves on the flight. So they're not causing a nuisance. Because actually a lot of parents I have spoken to, although there has been a huge backlash, there have been some who have actually said to me they dread flying. They hate it. They cannot stand flying with their kids. They know their kids are a nuisance to everybody else. They know sort of like, you know, everybody else's kids are a nuisance to them.
So I think thankfully I don't, and I'm really pleased to say that I live in a society where I don't think everyone finds children that are upset a nuisance. But it's been interesting to speak to you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank
okay,
you.
Take care. That's Kelly Rose Bradford. You're very welcome back. We're joined in studio now by one of the rising stars in Donegal music, or music from Donegal, Megan Nichruri. A very good morning to you, Megan.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you so much for coming in.
No, thank you.
Now, you're on your own with us today, but normally you perform with some family members, don't you?
I do, yeah. I sing with Clan Vicaru, which is myself, my father, Tony, and his three brothers, who are Donal, Huey and Sean.
Oh, excellent. And gig all over the place, do you?
Yes. We do,
excellent.
Yeah.
How does that work, working with family? Is it okay?
It's good. No, it's good.
And are you a vocalist as part of that group?
Yeah, or? Well, I play piano for all the songs and then I sing for a good few as well.
Excellent. And you've worked with some of the top artists in the country, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Tell us, give us a list of some of them.
Well, at the moment I'm working with Moya Brennan. The song I'm going to sing today, actually, I'm recording with her at the moment. I've worked with her daughter. I've worked with Liam O'Mealy, Altan, the Lunnies, and a load of other people.
In their thousands as well, so it's a mixture of traditional, contemporary.
Exactly, yeah.
You've a broad love of music then, so I presume.
Yeah, I do.
And how long have you been playing the piano? Well, you obviously come from a musical home, so was it a case that you started playing it, or tinkering at least, before you even can remember?
Well, I got my first piano when I was 5.
Right.
And then I started doing kind of classical, and then I just kind of branched off, started doing my own thing then as well, composing. So, yeah, since I was very young.
And the composing side of it, did that come natural to you?
It did, yeah.
And what would you put that down to? Your heritage?
Family and heritage.
Very
suppose,
good.
Yeah.
And you're heading off to Sweden, I understand, too.
Yeah, on the 3rd of September, we're heading off. We're doing a week's gigs out there. So really looking forward to that.
Excellent. And just give us an idea again of the song that you're singing for us this morning.
It's a song I wrote with my dad actually 2 years ago. And I had written the music for it and I couldn't find words. So dad helped me. It was after we lost a family member to suicide. So we were just really inspired to write this piece.
Did you find that, and I want to choose my words carefully, I want to say therapeutic. Do you understand what I'm saying?
It did help with the process, definitely.
Did it?
Yeah.
And you're singing in Irish.
I am, yeah.
Would a song like this be composed in Irish or composed in English and then translated? Obviously, I presume you're a native Irish speaker, aren't
I am,
you?
Yeah. This particular song was definitely written in Irish.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you find it easier to express when writing in Irish or versus or English, or is there no difference?
I think it's the same. Just okay. However I'm feeling, whatever language I kind of choose to approach.
Absolutely fantastic. And the name of the song again?
It's Sula.
Sula. And your work with Moya Brennan on this song, is it just a collaboration?
It's a collaboration, yeah.
Excellent. And was it hard to get her involved, or did you hear it and say, I want to get straight on board with this?
It was Moya that actually approached me, so
fantastic.
Delighted to say that, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to say that, isn't it? Especially
exactly.
Someone of her standing. And is it going to be released, or what's the...
It's part of a project. There's quite a few artists involved in it, so hopefully... maybe October time it should be released.
And is this a suicide awareness project, is it?
No,
or?
It's just, it's part of the Lunnig Lunasa as far as,
I, get you.
As I know, so yeah.
I'm delighted to say we're going to hear it now and take it away whenever you want to there,
Thank
Megan.
You very much.
True.
Absolutely lovely, Megan. Lovely flow to that.
Thank you very much.
And it goes to show that even if you that music transcends languages, in that, you know, it's absolutely gorgeous, even though I don't know as much Irish as I would like. Where can people see you performing live? You're bound to have some gigs coming up.
Actually, at the moment, we're quite quiet until after Sweden.
I suppose all eyes on Sweden, actually. That's only next month, isn't it?
Yeah. But in October time, we're in Belfast and Louth, so if anyone around there wants to come see us.
Excellent, fantastic. And when are you going to be gigging closer to home then, so?
Unknown at the moment.
Later in the year.
Yeah,
we'll keep
exactly.
an ear out for that. Yeah. And when you go out to Sweden, why Sweden?
I think everyone out there just loves the kind of Celtic and Irish sound. And we were heard somewhere and someone just wanted us out. So,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Great experience.
Exactly, yeah. Very exciting.
Indeed. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure, Megan.
Oh, thank you.
That was really lovely. Do you have a YouTube page or SoundCloud page or anything?
We have a Facebook page.
Right.
And there's some videos up there. It's just Clan Vic Rory.
Okay, that's absolutely brilliant. That's CLANNICRUAIRE. And people can...
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's close enough. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll link it on our Facebook page as well. That's absolutely lovely. Thank you so much for coming in. It really was great. That's Megan Nick-Rury there from Gwydor performing live for us today. And a beautiful and heartfelt and meaningful song there as well. Now, Cry Monster Cry are a band made up of brothers Richie and Jamie Martin. And I'm delighted to say Jamie joins me on the programme now. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very, very good. How long have you and Richie been playing as collectively as Cry Monster Cry?
I think we started in about 2012. We sat down and decided to write a new bunch of songs under that name, and sort of start the project. And we released our first EP, The Fallen, that year. And then since then, it sort of gathered a lot of momentum. We toured around a lot and we just released our debut album there a couple of months ago, so it's been going very well for us.
Making the music and using the fantastic resource now that is social media and SoundCloud and so on, it's great, but you still can't beat getting your name out there by gigging live, can you?
Absolutely, yeah. I think, as you said, nothing beats that really, and even with all the social media now, word of mouth is still a very powerful tool. You know, people, you might go to play a town and the venue will be half full, and then you come a couple of months again and people have told other people and it's full up and it just sort of gathers.
Must be great buzz then.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. I'd imagine.
We've been very lucky with the support that we've been getting over the past few months, so we're delighted with it.
Now, what is the thrust of your music? In my notes it tells me that you're inspired, that a deep interest in storytelling of Ireland inspired your music. Where did that come from? Where was your influence there?
I think it came from, as children, we were always around music and we loved to read as children, and our parents told us lots of stories all the time, and I think that had a big influence on it. We used to spend our summers up in Donegal every 3 months at a time, and our mother would tell us all sorts of fairy tales and stories, and I think that just sort of planted something in us. And then when we started to write songs, that sort of inspired us to sort of take the lyrics and the sounds into that sort of realm. So yeah, it's been a huge influence on us. I think the new album has a lot of that, from sort of, it has everything from sort of Irish and Welsh folk tales, and the album actually has a concept of a journey from morning to nighttime. That's why we call it Rhythm of Dawn, and it has a lot of imagery of birds, so we sort of tried to work all of that into it as well.
Yeah, so you take the in other words, if you listen to this album, don't put it on shuffle.
Yeah, well,
of course, but you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, we did actually try to make it so that it would work on shuffle as well.
Okay, very good. I thought I was being a smart arse, but as it turns out, you thought about that.
No, well, the thing is, we didn't actually set out to make a sort of concept album.
Okay.
It sort of, as we pieced the songs together in the studio, it sort of took that form, so we just ran with it and tried to sort of sculpt it in that fashion. But I think we tried to make it so the songs stand on their own as well.
Yeah, of course. Now, you are performing live in the Bridge Bar Ramelton on the 22nd of August. Do you gig much up here, or is this one of the first? Or
That would be the second gig we've done up in Donegal, actually. The Great. First one was last year. We did Letterkenny, but we're hoping to do a few more. I think we'll be going to Kildaff in October. It's great. We visit Donegal all the time, but this is only the second gig we've done there. So
now you have to pay us back now for all the inspiration we gave you for songwriting.
Oh, I know, yeah. Well, I was just up there for a week now. I just got home to Dublin. So I was travelling around. So it was fantastic.
Now, tell us, the Bridge Bar Ramelton, 22nd of August, people can go along on the night. Is it just yourself and what is the band's setup on stage? You know, what's the backing and that?
For that gig, we will have a backing band. So we have a friend of ours who plays bass for us, and we have a drummer. And for some gigs, we have a keyboard player. So we try to switch it around.
Yeah.
Depending on the night, there's some gigs that we'll do in a sort of small, intimate venue.
Well, the one thing I've learned... Sorry, James. The one thing I've learned from this show, we're blessed, and mostly thanks to Yvonne, the producer, that we have some fantastic live music on every single week. And we had, indeed, just before you joined us, we had a fantastic artist. Songs can sound different, stripped back, with extra layers. You don't necessarily lose anything from it. You know, a song can sort of even sound some better sometimes with just the most simplest of accompaniments, and let the music and lyric talk for themselves.
Absolutely. I think when we went into the studio to record these songs, we felt there was a sort of security in putting these layers on it. And there's been a few gigs that we've done over the past few months that, just for whatever reason, it's had to be just me and Richie. And we've shown up. For example, we did a couple gigs with Mick Flannery there in Cork a few months ago. And we showed up and we had a complete nightmare with the gear. Two guitars broke down on us. My mandolin wasn't working. So we decided, and we had a full room of people who were supporting Mick Flannery. We decided just to sing the songs with one acoustic guitar and two vocals. And it was one of my favorite gigs we've ever done. It really worked. And just stripping the songs right back, you feel very naked up there and you feel very exposed, but it really... The impact was great and people loved it.
All right. Listen, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, Jamie. We can't wait for you and Richie to come back up here, of course, to the Bridge Bar Ramelton on the 22nd of August. Thank you so much for joining us on the programme.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care now. That is Jamie. And indeed, we hope to listen to actually a little bit of Rhythm of Dawn. Padraig Kennedy, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Very well, and yourself?
Oh, we're on top of the world here. We're just back from one once-in-a-lifetime trip, I would say. You know, it was just unbelievable.
And that's why we have you on. You're chairperson of the Donegal Community Band, and you're just back from Disneyland. What took you over there besides a plane?
Well, we were over there representing Donegal and maybe probably Ireland. We were leading the parade in Euro Disney in France.
And how did you get that gig?
Well, we have won 3 All-Irelands and we have 3 Ulsters. And we were in touch with Euro Disney and told them about us and they were interested in us. And then we sent them off a DVD and we got chatting to them and they said they would be more than interested in having us lead the parade in Euro Disney.
And what was the parade for, Padraig?
It's a parade which takes place every day in Euro Disney, and different groups can perform. It's part of their performance group, and it promotes different groups and entertainers, and they lead the parade.
And did you have a Disney theme to the music that you played, or what?
No, we just played most of our upbeat music, and the crowds along the streets, they queue early for the parade, you know.
Yeah, it's a big big event.
It's massive, and then you lead the band. The band leads the whole parade down, and it was just an amazing sight and a very proud moment for me and for all the committee, just to see the band come up past the Disney Castle and the Donegal and Ulster and Irish flag flying. And
now, the Donegal Community Band, how many members travelled over and what's the age group?
Oh, they're from 8 to 18. And we had 55 kids that went over, but there's 65 in the group altogether. And we had 15 leaders went over as well.
Absolutely brilliant. And it wasn't all work and no play, was it?
Oh, no, because the first day we were over, we toured around the city and went down the Seine and had a guided tour of Paris. And, of course, we all had our Donegal jerseys. Well, we had a couple of refugees then from Mayo in the middle all with their jerseys, but mainly we had all Donegal jerseys and on to the Triumph, and we had our photo there. So that was good crack. And the next day then we were in Euro Disney. We were free that day, and then the next day then we were organised then to parade down.
And it's a great reward. It's a trip of a lifetime and a great reward, particularly for the younger band members, you know, because a lot of practice goes into it. And I know they love performing, but it's nice to get that treat too, isn't it?
It's an unbelievable once-in-a-lifetime trip, you know, and you know, for the memories and for ourselves as well,
of course,
to see the band, you know, and all the effort. But it took a lot of hard work, and you know, they're great ambassadors to Donegal and to Ireland, that they can go out there and not a bit of bother, you know. And they were all their own groups, and young, senior, and junior members were mixing away and having the crack and looking after each other. And it's a great outlet for them.
Hard is it, Padraig, I presume this is tons of work from the likes of yourself and the rest of the committee, with all the distractions that are out there, and I'm not talking about Facebook necessarily and all that stuff, but, you know, sport and you know, there's a lot of stuff that younger people can spend their time on.
Yes, yeah.
But to keep 65-odd children interested in performing as part of the Donegal Community Band, it's a great piece of work.
It is, but we're so lucky, Greg, and what we have, and the kids alone. I mean, you wouldn't have a band without the kids that we have. And then you have your parents backing that up and taking them in and out to practice and pushing them on to practice away. But the kids are interested and enjoy it. And then we have such a great committee. You know, it's just a big machine, and everyone has a cog in this machine. And we just, it runs so well, and like, you know, from just organising things to having the whole thing running. It's a big undertake, but we're so lucky because everyone enjoys being there. And I think that's how you keep them interested, just the enjoyment of it. And, of course, there's days where you're pushing them on and you know, you're roaring and pushing them on.
Well, it's 65 you know, personalities you're dealing with too.
Absolutely.
So there is that. Listen, Porrick, well done to you, the rest of the committee, and of course the band principally, for doing us all proud, not just the county but the country. And what a fantastic experience. And I'm delighted you came on with us to share it with our listeners.
Oh, Greg, it's no bother. And, you know, you have to be proud and check out the Donegal Town Community Band webpage. There's loads of photos up. And, you know, without our sponsors and people.
Well, give them a mention. Do you want to run through?
Yeah, I suppose it's dangerous to mention in case you forget it.
Well, I offered, Porrick. I offered.
Our main sponsor would be Donegal Town Credit Union. Without them, they've been there from the start.
They sponsor me too, strangely.
Good. And Abbey Hotel and all the businesses in Donegal Town.
It's a community. It takes a community to run a community band.
The community should be so proud, you know, and it's great that the town has a band and, you know, and for all these bands that were there, like Donegal had a great tradition and community bands, and I suppose it was hard to get the thing, keep the thing going, but anyone that was in a band, they should think about trying to get it back together and promote it on and push it on again and get the kids involved and share the memories that they had throughout the years of all the fun they had, you know.
All right, Porrick Kennedy, thanks very, very much for joining
us. Thanks, Greg.
Bye.
Right, thank you very much.
Sheena Callahan, hello.
Hello, Greg.
How are you?
I'm fine, Greg.
Very, very good. And you're well this Saturday morning, aren't you?
I am.
So, nominations are now open for Donegal Carer of the Year. We've got literally thousands of carers from the very young to the very old, and it's an incredible, valuable service that they provide, obviously, in many cases, to the loved ones, but to the community as well.
It is. And as we know, Donegal, we have actually 7,500 of voluntary carers in the county. That looks after the carers in their own homes. We have a number of, like 12% of them is over 65 that looks after the elderly and their own spouses in the house. So we, as the Donegal Red Cross, or the Irish Red Cross, it's just a way for us to recognise that the wonderful work that the carers do.
And you know what? Obviously, there can only be one winner. But I think to a lot of carers, even the nomination itself would be a wonderful thing.
It is. And
tell us, how do people nominate someone, Sheena?
Well, how they nominate, you think they can actually get it from any member of the Red Cross here in Donegal, or they can phone myself on my mobile number, which is 087-2940455, or the Donegal Red Cross Centre, which is open from 10 o'clock a.m. in the morning to 1 weekdays, and their number is
07493-847-76.
Or they can download the form from the redcross.ie Care of the Year Award.
Now, we will have all of those details here. People will be very familiar with our number as well, of course, Sheena. And it can be hard to write a number down just on a hoof like that. But
yes,
we'll retain those numbers. And anyone that wants your number, or indeed that wants to contact the Donegal Red Cross Centre, weekdays 10 a.m. to 1 p.m, we'll also have that number there as well. And you can just download the form from redcross.ie. Quick word on last year's winner.
Last year's was a lady called Anne Strain, and Anne looked after her husband that has Alzheimer's for over 7 years. And I have to say a thank you to the Radisson Blue and Spa Hotel in Sligo, which donated 2 nights bed and breakfast and an evening meal to Anne.
Oh, that's absolutely lovely. Sheena, thank you so much for coming on the programme.
Okay.
It's been lovely to chat to you. That's Sheena Callahan there. And that's all we have time for.